lift others. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Because I get a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down, because I'm already standing, I'm already standing, yes I'm
You guys ready for the word today? Yeah. All right, well, we're starting a brand new series this month called Finding Peace in a World of Chaos, okay? And there's something I feel like God, we have a prophetic word for this, for us today as a church and for the world and for many people that are watching on social media today. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 25 through 29. John chapter 10, verse 25 through 29. There's been so many studies that have been done over the last year that talk about the number one ailment for people 18 and over in America today, and it is anxiety and mental disorders and stress and worry and all these things. And we're going to talk about that this month, and we're going to seek out some answers from the scriptures here. And this is going to be John 10, 25, 29 is our text that we're going to jump off of here and just dive in to see what God is going to reveal to us. So John 10, 25 through 29 says this: Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we could come to the house of God on Labor Day, Lord Jesus. Father, we just ask that today you would speak to us, Lord God, and that you would give us answers in a world full of chaos. Lord, show us how to have peace. Show us how to have that peace that passes understanding. And I pray today, Father, that every person's spiritual ears would be open and that we would hear your voice as your sheep. Lord, I just ask that you move in this place today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys ready for the word today? All right, we're going to jump into this today. You know, John chapter 10, there's so much meat in this verse here. There's some things that I want you to catch that Jesus is speaking. And on your own time, I want to encourage you to read the whole chapter of John 10, because Jesus is saying some very profound things here. In the first part, he says, Jesus answered them. Well, who is them? Well, when you read the context of the scripture, Jesus is at the temple. He's actually at Solomon's porch in celebration of one of the ceremonial feasts of Israel. And so he's talking to churchgoers. Amen? He's talking to churchgoers. He's talking to people that are following or supposedly following the ways of God. He is not talking to sinners. He's not talking to people in the bars or other places. He's talking to churchgoers. Can we see that today? Can I get an amen today? So this is who he's addressing. And in the scripture prior to this, they're saying, come on, Jesus, just tell us if you're the Messiah. Just spit it out. Make it clear. And Jesus' response to them is this. Man, I told you guys, and you don't believe. I've been telling you who I am, but you don't believe. I wonder if Jesus showed up in the flesh today, because he's here in spirit. I wonder if he would look at you and go, man, I've been telling you who I am, but you don't believe. And then he takes it a further step. Look what he says. He says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe. And then he says something strong here. He says, you don't believe because you are not of my sheep. We've got to catch this today. Because maybe Jesus might say to you today, hey, the reason you don't hear these sermons and messages that Pastor Sergio is speaking, because you ain't my sheep. Would Jesus walk in here and look at you and go, you know, you come into church every week, but nothing's changing. You come into church every week and don't do any of it, and you're still struggling with your faith. Could it be you're not hearing because you're not his sheep? That's a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought to the ushers who get here early every Sunday and serve. That's a sobering thought to the worship team that comes out on Wednesdays and practices for 2.5 hours and then gets here first at 8 a.m. with the ushers. And they sing every Sunday, and they serve every Sunday. But Jesus could still come and say, you ain't getting it because you ain't one of my sheep. See, we love to point at our actions, our service, our works, and go, what are you talking about? I'm not one of your sheep. I'm in church every Sunday. I give my tithe every week. I serve whenever asked. What do you mean I'm not one of your sheep? See, this is what was going on in this scripture. Jesus is at the Temple Mount. He's there in Solomon's porch. The Pharisees, which we'll call them the churchgoers of the day, are saying, Jesus, we still don't get it. Are you or aren't you the Messiah? Jesus looks at them and says, you know why you don't get it? Because you ain't my sheep. So their response is, wait a minute, we keep the Ten Commandments, we pay our tithe, we do this, we do that. And Jesus continues on and goes, but you still are missing it. And my message to you today is this, are you missing it? Even though you come every Sunday, even though you serve, even though you wear the t-shirt, come on somebody. Even you're a part of the giving family. Could it be that you're still sitting in these blue chairs and Christ would come and say, but you ain't one of my sheep? Because here's what Christ says is the determining factor if you're one of his sheep or not. He says this, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Let's keep reading. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's a promise for his sheep. But you know what? Many times we find ourselves not being Jesus' sheep. We find ourselves being churchgoers, people that go to church. And Jesus didn't call us to be churchgoers. He called us to be disciples, disciplined ones, followers of Jesus Christ. And some of you, maybe you've been changing churches, you've been going to this pastor, you've been going to that pastor, and you just, I just can't find where I need to be, because it, could it be it's that, not the place, it's not the pastor, it's you. You ain't one of his sheep. So you're going to wander around until you find the perfect church that you think speaks to you. But see, it ain't the pastor. It ain't any of the outward things. The problem, the reason you ain't hearing God is because you haven't made a decision to be one of his sheep. Yeah, but I'm doing all the stuff. So were the Pharisees. You know, Pharisees get, they take a lot of hits when preachers talk about the Pharisees. All those religious Pharisees. Hey, man, those guys knew the law. Those guys studied. Those guys followed that thing as best they could. They were the best cream of the crop of the old covenant. And Jesus came to them and said, you're doing all this stuff, but you don't know my voice. Let me back up a little bit onto why we're talking about this month. A recent study was done by the Center of Disease Control in the United States, the CDC. We've heard a lot of studies from the CDC over the last year and a half, all with COVID and all that. But they did a study in January through February of 2021, this year. And they found that 2 in 5 adults above 18 years of age have experienced symptoms of anxiety or a depressive disorder. 1 in 4 adults who experience these symptoms reports that even though they needed it, they didn't receive any counseling, any therapy, or I'll add this, any ministry for their mental health. Now, Barna Research, which is a Christian research firm, they do studies and things for pastors and churches to have statistics. They did the same study and they said it was the exact same result for people that go to church once or twice a month. They're experiencing the same mental anguish as people that don't even know God. Now, I say it like this. It's anxiety is a thing in the church as it is in the world. USNews.com reported in 2016 the rise of mental illness all over the world. This is pre-pandemic, okay? And what they found was the 3 nations that lead the world in mental illness is India, China, and the USA. They found that 1 in 4 adults experience mental illness such as schizophrenia, anxiety, and bipolar disorder. All these things are on the rise. Those 3 nations are interesting to me that they would lead the way. I mean, you could look at India and China for their mere population because there's so many people over there that, of course, they're going to have more people with mental illness. But the USA? Top 3? I believe another reason we see the rise in mental illness in those 3 nations is because one nation, China, has thrown out the belief in God altogether. India has so many gods, it's confusing. It really is. I've been there, and India is a confusing place. There are temples to this god, the monkey god, the goat god, this other god. It's excruciatingly tiresome if you're trying to find God there. But the USA, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and we're leading the world in mental disorders? We got to look at that. Now, it's interesting that word, disorder, right? It's what the dictionary refers to as mental illness. It's also referred to as a disorder. Think of that. Mental illness, disorder. Something to be said there about disorder. Because disorder causes confusion. Now, we're talking about finding peace in a world of chaos. Guys, we're in a world full of chaos right now. A couple weeks, I'm going to turn 50. Amen. Yeah, I'm happy about it. It's all right. Do we clap? Is he cool with it? What? No, I'm cool. We're going to have a good Sunday service here. We're gonna have a good bash. Pastor Cruz is going to come down and preach for us from El Paso. You guys, it's going to be a good Sunday. But in my 50 years, I can't remember the world being like it is now, to where there's all these problems. I mean, think about it. The fires that are happening in California two summers in a row. Almost 200,000 acres have burned in the forest out here. So many people have lost homes. The air quality this last week was extremely dangerous. You had the hurricane that swept through. Hurricane Ida did so much damage all through the South and all the way up into New York, where New York had flash flooding. We had another earthquake in Haiti, you know, a couple weeks ago, and the pandemic is still wreaking havoc around the world. I was talking to my pastor friend in Malaysia, and they still have not opened up their economy. It is in shambles. In Kuala Lumpur, which is one of the main financial centers of Southeast Asia, many businesses have gone under. Their church is delivering food. And he said, Pastor, it's not to areas where you think. Normally when we feed families, it's people that are struggling with poverty. He says, we're dropping off boxes of food to mansions, to penthouse suites in downtown Kuala Lumpur. And it's because CEOs and millionaires, all of a sudden, because the economy has been shut down, they're not allowed to do business. And they're starving. And they need food. I mean, I could go on and on. You could go on and on. We see it all around us, the earth. And listen, let's not downplay it. Things are different now. People are different now. Society is, there's so much going on. And that's why I said there is so much chaos in the world today. Not just in the world, but maybe in your life. Let's look at that word chaos. What does the word chaos mean? Well, it means complete disorder and confusion. That's what the dictionary says. Complete disorder and confusion. That's why I said earlier, disorder many times can cause confusion. Now, studies have been done, right? There's been sociologists that have done studies, and I think one company, Clorox, actually did a study, and I believe they were just trying to sell some cleaning products. But listen to this. Studies have shown that cleaning your house can boost your mood and your happiness. Now, these same studies have shown that a dirty room or a dirty car can contribute to depression. Folks, are you tracking where I'm going with this? Many times, disorder can lead to anxiety. Many times, disorder can lead to depression. What you don't need is, you know, another doctor visit, maybe. What you maybe need to do is get some things in order. And I believe the reason we see things in America as in the top three nations for mental illness is because Americans aren't putting things in the order that God has meant for us to put them into. Can I get a good strong amen on that? So think about that. Studies have shown that if you're struggling with depression, and you want to get out of depression, you don't necessarily need a prescription. You need to clean your house. Think about that. You're dealing with, you depressed all the time? Maybe you just need to clean your room. Or maybe you just need to go over to Quick Quack real quick and clean the inside of the car. Oh, come on, we keep the outside clean, don't we? Don't we? Because you don't got to do nothing. Just drive in the car. Oh, it's clean. I'm good. But we let the inside go. You got papitas and fries on the bottom, underneath the chair, old milkshake cups back there. Come on, it's getting real quiet in this Baptist church today. Come on, we all do it. We all do it. We all, you know, have those issues. But what I'm asking you to do is this. Maybe how you feel mentally is related to the disorder and the chaos in your home. And while you're at home depressed, and man, I can't shake this depression, take a look around. What kind of room you sitting in? You got a pile of dirty clothes, pile of clean clothes. You don't know which ones are clean and which ones are dirty. The bed sheets ain't been washed in a while. Oh, come on, somebody. You ain't got a curtain up. You got a sheet hanging over the window. Who wouldn't be depressed in a room like that? And you wake up every day, just, oh, I got this heaviness. Could it be that the disorder in your life is creating depression in your life? Come on, are you tracking with me today? Listen, I'm not trying to hurt nobody today. I struggle with this just like anybody else. You know, when you got kids, there's no way your house stays clean all the time. Amen? So just breathe. Ain't nobody condemning you or, you know, calling you nasty or anything like that. Listen, we all have to clean our houses. We all have to clean our cars. But I'm just saying, maybe you're looking for relief from mental anxiety and stress in the wrong places. So, man, I can't shake this depression. So let me go make a doctor's appointment and let me get another prescription. Save your money. Well, matter of fact, don't save your money. The money that you would invest in that, hire a cleaning lady. Treat yourself. Amen? I know I got a lot of Mexican families here, and we can't bring ourselves to pay anybody to do what we know we could do. My mama didn't pay no cleaning. I ain't paying no cleaning lady. Fine, then you do it. I just ain't got time, Pastor. Then pay a cleaning lady. It could be the boost that you need to come home to a house. Listen now, that's in order. To go into a bedroom, that's in order. To get into a car, that's in order. Oh, hallelujah, the light. Shondo. Are you tracking with me? Let me prove it to you right here. Because let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1:1-5. This is what we're basing this on, is the scriptures, right? If we're going to find peace in a world of chaos, how did God bring peace to a world in chaos? Look at Genesis chapter 1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. You know, one translation calls it like this: the world was in chaos. Void, it had no form, it was void. Darkness was everywhere. And so what did God do to bring a peace or light into a world of chaos? What does he do? He speaks. Now track with me now. He speaks. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And the Bible says, and light was, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. It basically, what God is doing is what I'm telling you to do. He looked at the earth and said, it needs to be put in order. And if you look through the scriptures, he takes 6 days to start putting things in order. He divides the night from the day. He calls the day, he divides the light from the day. He puts the stars in the sky and the moon over here. And then he creates the birds, the fish, the land creatures, all these things. What is he doing? He's taking chaos and bringing in order. You need to catch this today. Because God wants to take the chaos out of your life and bring order. But the problem is this: Christians don't know how God moves. Amen? I'm trying to help you with something today. We must learn how God moves. And that God uses his voice. God uses his voice. When God saw chaos in the earth, He spoke. When there's chaos in your life, you need God's voice. Because God's voice will always lead you to order. But see, this is why, going back to John chapter 10, why what Jesus was saying was so profound. He was speaking, but they weren't his sheep, so they couldn't hear his voice. My question to you today is, can you hear his voice? Or are you like the churchgoers of Jesus' time? Even though the word is coming from this pulpit into your life, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, some of us still don't believe. Some of us still don't get it. He's been trying to tell you, quit dating losers. And some of us still keep going into them DMs. How you doing? He's been trying to tell you, but you can't hear his voice. Here's what you should be concerned about. It's not just that you're being stubborn. You know what it is? You ain't his sheep. And that should concern you. He keeps telling you over and over and over, let go of that thing, quit going there, quit being with them, stop doing that, and you don't hear it, and you think, oh, I'm just hard-headed. No, you're not hard-headed. You're not his sheep. Oh, yes, I am, Pastor. I'm here every Sunday. Oh, yes, I am. I serve on the usher team. Oh, yes, I am. I give my tithes. Listen, and you know it too. There's been times when I've done all those things and still felt terrible. There's been times I've done all those things and still dealt with depression or was stressed out of my mind. It's not what you do that qualifies you as his sheep. When are we going to learn that? Listen, I struggled with this just like you. You know, when we were going through this building process just a little over a year ago. Actually, it was about a year ago now. I'll never forget. Last year, we all know we were all going through it, but my family and I were going through it in a three-bedroom apartment in Midtown. And we had moved there when my mother was not doing good, and she was still alive. She was very ill, and my wife was driving from our house back and forth. We were getting ready to be in the building, and so we moved into the apartment. We thought it would be only a couple months. It turned into a couple years. And in that time, when we moved into the apartment, we said, oh, we'll stay there until the church building opens up and everything happens. And then we'll, once God gets his house, we'll get our house. Well, most of you know it took 2 years, which should have took 4 or 5 months to get in this building. It took 2 years. And so we stayed in that apartment. And then the pandemic hit. And then George Floyd hit. And we're living in Midtown Sacramento. And the riots start. People are upset at the racial problems in our nation, and so they're rioting in Midtown. A couple nights, Willard and I had to go stand out in front of my dad's barbershop with baseball bats and make sure that people weren't coming to destroy our property. It was a stressful time. On top of that, we couldn't have church services. We weren't meeting. We weren't getting to see the sheep as a shepherd. Man, it was stressful. How's everybody doing? We're doing our best. We're going online. We're preaching to you. We're sending texts, and we're not hearing back from some people. And some people we're hearing back. And well, how are we going to take care of the bills to finish the church when nobody's at church? And thankfully, people were continuing to give God their tithe, continuing to sow. And we will forever be grateful for the faithful people at Elevate Life Church. But it was stressful. And on top of that, five of us were in a small three-bedroom apartment. And I'll never forget, one day I woke up, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see in my right eye. Couldn't see out of it. It was blurry. And I got up, and I thought, oh, man, I didn't put my contact in right. So I went back into the bathroom, and wait a minute, everything's good, and it wasn't my contact. I had some kind of thing covering up my left eye or my right eye. So I was like, what is this? Rubbing my eye, cleaning my eye, buying solution. Like, what's going on? This is crazy. And it was kind of like I just had a film over that eye. Finally, I said to my wife, listen, I got to go to the eye doctor. I got to figure what this is about. I'm losing my vision. So we go to the eye doctor. She goes, oh, how old are you? I said, well, I'm 49. You know, I know what this is. I said, what? Is this pretty normal? She said, it's pretty normal in people that are stressed out. And her words just hit me because, can I tell you something? I thought I was doing pretty good. I thought I had a handle. Yeah, it was a stressful time. Things were, but I thought I was doing pretty good because I was praying. I was spending time with God. And I just thought, whoa. She goes, yeah, this is a collagen buildup over your eye. And I see it a lot of times in men your age. When they get super stressed, this buildup is released and you lose vision in that. I said, well, how do I get it back? And she gave me that genius answer. Well, you got to stop stressing. This is what I'm paying you for? Okay. This is what that degree in ophthalmology or whatever, that's what you learn? She said, you got to stop stressing. So I remember I left that doctor's office and I felt so like vulnerable. Like, wow, I'm in a world of chaos right now. I don't know if we're going to make it through this building thing. You know, I don't know what's going on. My son's graduating this year. He's not going to have a graduation. I mean, all these things are going on. And can I just tell you, things were out of order in my life. I remember leaving that doctor's office, finally realizing I got to make some changes because I'm stressed. I started looking at my life. How can I be stressed? Man, I'm in my word. I'm praying. But then I learned that we do this, right? You guys do the same thing. We come to God. Say this cell phone is our burdens. We come to God with our burdens. And while we're praying, we lay our burdens on the altar. And we say, God, you know, heal my body. Or God, pay my bills. Or God, help me with this situation. God, get me through this. All this stuff. We lay our cares before him because Jesus said, bring your cares to me because I care for you. And we do that. And then we say amen. And we go, yeah, let me take this back over here. How many have found that we do that? We'll come into an amazing service and we'll go, oh God, help me, heal my body, do it all, Lord, there it is. And oh God, you moved incredibly, thank you for that. Let me get my cares back in here. And then we go back home and we're still worried, still stressed, still depressed, because we cast our cares down in prayer, but then we pick them back up. And I did that. I was doing that every day, crying my eyes out in here in this dusty room and just praying and being like, oh, okay, I'm good. And then I'd get in my car and I'd take all the care back with me. And that disorder in my life caused my body to react. But thank God I could hear his voice. Amen. And you know what his voice is telling me? It was telling me, you got to make some changes. You're way too stressed. You're not going to make it through this if you keep this up. See, I had enough sense to listen to the voice. That is what I want you to catch this morning. If you're going to make it through anything in your life, any chaos, any situation, any problem, you better have an ear for the voice of God. And some of you, you don't hear God. And it ain't my fault. It ain't your last pastor's fault. It ain't anybody's fault. The problem is you have not yet decided to be one of Jesus' sheep. You've been satisfied being a churchgoer. Jesus didn't say churchgoers can hear my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you tracking with me today? So this is the thing we've got to learn to understand here is that he said his sheep hear his voice. Now, what is the voice of God to us? Well, Jesus sets it up. The voice of God is the voice of a shepherd. That's what he said. That Jesus said, my sheep, he calls us sheep, you know. I always wondered why he called us sheep. John chapter 10, 25 through 29, Jesus is trying to reach churchgoers. And he says, y'all ain't getting it. And I often think about that. How come they didn't get it, God? They were churchgoers. They were professionals in the law. They were scholars. As I read the Gospels, I see that the problem with the Pharisees is the problem that many of us have. The problem with the Pharisees were they were more fixed on the vessel than the voice. I'll say that again. They were more fixed on the vessel than the voice. Because when you read about the Pharisees, they were believing for a Messiah. They talked about it in the temple. God is going to send us a Messiah that will redeem all of Israel. He will come, and they declared it, and they shouted, and they consciously waited for him. But when he showed up, they said, oh, it ain't you. It ain't you. No, I'm the Messiah. No, you ain't. What you mean, no, I ain't? Man, we see who you're hanging out with. Come on, you know the story. Who did Jesus recruit into his church staff? Sinners. Jesus is hanging out by the docks with all the fishermen. Come on. And they're talking nasty. They're cracking jokes. They're laughing it up. Jesus says, hey, y'all follow me. Then he's over at the bar and he's meeting with Matthew, the tax collector. See, what that word tax collector means is he was in the organized crime. That's what he was. He was Matthew Soprano. Come on. He'd be like, yo, your tax to the Roman government is 11%, but you need to give 2% to me. And they say, what's that for? That's protection money, buddy. You bring me that or I break your leg. He was hated. But Jesus goes to him and he says, hey, man, come hang with me. And he goes. He also recruited the young. Many of his disciples, scholars believe, were 14, 15 years old. So much so that in one story, their mother brings them to Jesus. Ain't no grown man's mom bringing them to a meeting. And so the Pharisees looked at that and they go, oh, you can't be the Messiah. Because they were focused on the vessel. And you know how church people can be sometimes. Rumor starts circulating about Jesus. Especially when Mary came to the house and she broke her alabaster box of fine perfumes. And she washes his feet with her hair. And everybody knew Mary had a past. And so they start going, why'd she do that? Did they have something going on? Was he one of her customers? Something ain't right with that. I'm telling you, something ain't right. And so Jesus is preaching, I'm the Messiah. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And they're like, no, you ain't. See, they couldn't hear his voice because they were so focused on the vessel. This is a problem in America today. That's why we love online preachers. Oh, we love famous preachers, right? We love the famous preacher. Give me some T.D. Jakes. Hey, I like T.D. Jakes. I wouldn't say a thing about T.D. Jakes. Some of y'all, don't be talking about my bishop, Pastor. Felt a tomato spirit coming from the back. But just track with me now. We love famous preachers. Why? Because we have the perception they got it all together. I've met many of them. Can I tell you a secret? They don't. Can I tell you another secret? Nobody has it all together. But you think they do. So you, oh, Stephen Furtick, oh, that's my dude. That's my guy. Oh, I'm on that. I leave church and I'm on Stephen Furtick. And hey, I got nothing against Stephen Furtick. Stephen Furtick's got, he's got a good word. Praise God for him. Amen? Am I clear on that? But see, here's what people will do. They'll listen to those cats, but won't hear the voice in their own church. Talking to somebody and they're like, oh, pastor, man, I was listening to Joel Osteen, man. I love Joel Osteen, pastor. And he was saying this, and he was talking about this and that, changed my life forever. I'm looking at that fool and I'm going, I preached that 2 weeks ago. But you couldn't hear it because you focused on the vessel. I just love Joel Osteen, pastor. I just love him. He's always so happy. Why can't you be happy like him? The reason Joel is happy is because he ain't got to pastor you. He ain't pastoring in South Sac. I'm just saying. If I wasn't pastoring you, I'd be happy. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, listen, I love all those dudes. Nothing wrong with them. Listen to their messages, all that. But don't get tied into the cult of personality that says it has to be a certain vessel if I'm going to receive anything. Listen to the voice. We're just containers. You know, oh, so-and-so prophesied over me years ago that I would. And you're putting more emphasis on who it was that gave the prophetic word than the prophetic word itself. Because we're like Pharisees. And the problem with Pharisees is even though, track with me, they know the word, they can't hear the voice. And there's a difference. Some of you know the Bible, but you can't hear his voice. Are you tracking with me today? So Jesus says, my sheep. Let's go to that real quick. John 10, 25 again. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Why does he call us sheep? That's not the most flattering animal. Like, why didn't he say, my stallions know my voice? And there we are galloping, with the hair flowing in the wind. Why didn't he call us, my lions know my voice? No, he says, my sheep. My sheep. Remember when you was playing farm, you never claimed to be the sheep, right? You was playing animal when you was a kid. I'm the monkey, I'm the lion. Everybody's, I'm the sheep. Nobody. But Jesus calls us sheep. Matthew 9, 36 and 38, look at, he says it again. He says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. We got to look at that. Why sheep, God? Let me tell you why. Let me give you five reasons why Jesus refers to us as sheep. Y'all ready for this? I'm going to build your self-esteem this morning. Ish. All right. Number one, first thing about sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. Why is that so profound? Because some of you need to know where you're trying to go and what you're dealing with. Without God, you'll never get there. And some of you think you will. Well, you know, if I just marry the right guy, my life is going to be awesome. No, it ain't. Well, if I just find me a wife, you know, everything's going to be good. We're going to have some babies. No, it ain't. Them babies might come out all jacked up. Well, if I can just buy a house, if we can just buy a house, everything's going to be great. You ain't never owned one before, have you? It's stressful being a homeowner. See, when you're renting, something breaks, you call the landlord. Hey, could you come over and adjust the sink? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. When you own that thing, you got to fix it. And you don't have the money to fix it. But you need to fix it. That's stress. Some of y'all don't know what you're praying for. But my point is this. We keep looking for things, and we think if we get this thing, then I'll be all right. If I get a job, I get a better pay. If I get more of this, if I get the promotion. No, you know what it is? You just a sheep. And where you trying to get and where you trying to go, you can't get there without a shepherd. Sheep are defenseless. Studies have shown that when a sheep is attacked, they have no defense. Some sheep are so defenseless, if they fall over, listen to this, they can't even get themselves back up. Sheep are walking, boom, oh dang, I, this is it. Literally, okay? It's over. How'd you die? I fell. Over. So here's the thing. The only thing that can help a sheep is a shepherd. And a sheep's walking. Oh, he sees a sheep. He sees one of the sheep fall. He picks it up. All good. Sheep are defenseless. There's nothing on them that can defend them against a predator. See, some of us, we're deceived. You think your education is going to make your life okay. Oh, you think, you know, because you know a little street smarts, you're going to make it. I'll be all right. No, you ain't. You're defenseless. And I'm telling you this so that we can tear down these false facades that you got this. You don't got this. No amount of money can bring the healing in your body that you need. No toughness can bring the miracle that you need. Only God. And the quicker you understand that, the faster God can get to work on you. We're so puffed with our pride. We're so puffed up with who we think we are and who we, well, I'll just do this. And we work hard for lives that we don't need God. Isn't that what we try to do in America? If I just get enough money, I won't have to believe God for nothing. I'll have it. If I just do this, if I just do that. No, you need to be reminded this morning. Jesus calls you a sheep because he didn't create you to defend yourself. It's his job. He defends you. He meets your needs. The enemy's coming at you. Well, I just got to fight the devil. No, you don't. He fights the devil. Your job is this. Stay with the shepherd. Here's what your job is. Don't wander off. Don't go over there with Dem. Y'all know who Dem are. Don't hang out with them. Stay with the shepherd. The problem is we go off and we do our own thing and you forget you're defenseless. When a sheep wanders away from the shepherd, it's a wrap. Amen? That's why Jesus calls us sheep. Because without him, it's a wrap. Your marriage ain't gonna make it. You think it will. Well, we just love each other. I'm going to keep going. Number two. I can stay on that for a while. Number two. Another reason Jesus calls us sheep is because sheep have no sense of direction. None. The only way sheep can go anywhere is if they're led. Why are you trying to figure out your life? You're a sheep. Ooh, people get mad at this. I ain't no sheep. I ain't no. Jesus called you a sheep, you sheep. I don't like this. See, because you don't understand what he's trying to get you to see. He's trying to get you to see with him all things are possible. Without him, you're just a sheep. And sheep have no sense of direction. When sheep are out, they just wander, they go. That's why there is a shepherd. And a shepherd leads the sheep to the places they're supposed to go. Think of Psalms 23. Look at Psalms 23 real quick. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Ooh. Got a whole lot of Christians wanting. I want that. I want that. I want him. I want her. Hey, the Lord is your shepherd. He got you. He got you. Look what else it says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And you walking all over in the sticker bushes. Because you trying to do you. I'm going to do me. You're going to be all up in the sticker bushes and poisonous berries. Let him lead you beside green pastures, beside still waters. Ooh, look at this next one. And then he restores my soul. You know what that means? He takes away all the stress, all the anxiety, all the worry, all the rejection. Come on, just reach up right now and just claim that right now. Father, we just declare a restoring of our soul by the shepherd in Jesus' name. You need to highlight that scripture in your Bible. Next time you try to make all the decisions, next time you just like, oh, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to date him. You ain't listening to nobody. You're acting like a sheep. And sheep have no sense of direction. Number three, sheep are not meant to carry burdens. This is also why Jesus refers to us as sheep, because you're not meant to carry burdens. If you put something, you try to strap something on a sheep, hey, I'm going to go, you know, we're going to go over here, we're going to strap the little saddle to a sheep, bam, legs fall out all the ways. Could this be why we buckle under anxiety? You weren't made to carry those burdens. You weren't made to carry the burdens of your family, of your business. Some of you women, you worry about everything. Your son's not sitting next to you right now. Is he okay? I wonder if he's okay. Where are they? Is everything okay? You worry too much. You're not meant to carry burdens. You're going to kill yourself. And you're going to drive everybody around you crazy. Come on, you know it's the truth. Amen? So when Jesus says, my sheep, he's trying to tell you, you are not made to carry burdens. That's why stress and anxiety exists, because you're doing something that he's supposed to do. And we're coming to the Lord and we're saying, take our burden. And then we go, amen. Got it right back here. Praise God. Boy, I'm so stressed. When's he going to heal me? When's he going to do this for me? And you're still worried about it because you pick it up. Remind yourself, you weren't created to carry burdens. Amen. Number four, I'm almost done. Sheep cannot care for themselves when wounded. Amen. They can't care for themselves when they're wounded. And you still trying to get over stuff. It's not your job. It's not your job. It's Jesus's job. That's why in Psalms 23, David writes here, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you aren't with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now listen to this. He says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. You know what that scripture is dealing with right there? Put that scripture on the screen, guys. You know what that scripture is dealing with right there? It's dealing with healing. I know they used to say it in your favorite love song, time heals a broken heart. Can I tell you something? That's a lie. That makes for a good love song, but it ain't true. Some of you still ain't got over your ex, and he was crazy. Time doesn't heal broken hearts. Jesus does. And the psalmist says right here, you anoint my head with oil. Why are sheep anointed with oil? I want you to catch this now. They're anointed with oil by a shepherd because many times sheep, when they're together, they get mites, parasitic mites that when they rub their heads together are transferred, listen to this, and it causes the sheep to be irritated. Like some of y'all. Irritated all the time. Maybe we need to anoint your head with oil. Come on. God, just get on my last nerve. Why does everything irritate you? God's got something for that. The anointing. See, because check this out. What happens when that mite gets into a sheep? It'll cause damage to the fleece. And it can drop the value of the sheep. That's happening to some people in here. You used to be a good person. Now you irritate it all the time. I can't stand this church. I can't stand this house. I can't stand this car. I can't stand my man. I can't stand my kids. Can I tell you something? We can't stand you. Ooh. So when David says, you anoint my head with oil, you know what he's saying? You heal me. You treat my wounds. You keep me right so I could still be valuable. But guess what? Nobody else can do it except your shepherd. I got two more left. Why don't you help me out here, Charles? Number four. All right, I just did number four, right? Last one, number five. Sheep are valuable. Now, Pastor, why you just said we're dumb, we're defenseless, we ain't got no direction, can't carry nothing. That don't sound valuable to me. Oh, it's valuable. And you're valuable if you have a shepherd. Let me explain. See, sheep, they grow that wool, right? And they're able to shave that wool and sell it. And that wool provides clothing and warmth and covering for people. Not one time, but over and over and over again through the life of the sheep. So when somebody's got some sheep, he's got some wealth. Only if the sheep have a shepherd. Because remember, just a wild sheep out there, that thing ain't gonna last. A wolf's gonna eat it. It's gonna fall down. Ain't gonna make it. But when a sheep has a shepherd who takes care of them, takes care of their wounds, takes care of any predators, carries their burdens, that sheep's valuable. Because now that sheep can provide for others. Now that sheep can be used by its shepherd to bring great wealth into the kingdom. That's you. Come on, you need to catch this today, because some of you have lost your wealth because you're in a struggle. You think, oh, I'm disqualified. No, you need to just allow the shepherd to take care of you and quit trying to be in control. Quit trying to do it yourself. You're defenseless. You have no sense of direction. You can't carry no burdens. You can't care for yourself, yet you're trying. You wonder why you're stressed, full of anxiety. If you're going to have peace in a world of chaos, you better get under the shepherd's voice. Better get under his voice. Now, some of you, God's been trying to reach you for a long time, and you keep just going, I know, I know. You know what that I know means? I'm not his sheep yet. I'm not his sheep yet. I'm not his sheep yet. See, you think you're being hard-headed. You're not being hard-headed. He just don't have your heart. It's a checkup. When I'm not listening to God, you know what I'm demonstrating? That I'm not one of his sheep. So that day when my vision went out in my eye, kind of depressed me. I felt so vulnerable. I felt so defenseless. Because the only thing that was going to take, get my vision back, was for me to not stress. And I didn't know how to do that. So I had to listen for the shepherd's voice. And I did. My prayer of today, as we end today, is that you begin to hear his voice, not just his word. Pastor, what do you mean? Like I said, you could know his word, but not hear his voice. That's what the Pharisees did. And you need his voice. And quit being so focused on the vessel that you miss the voice. You ever do this? Somebody tells you something and you go, oh, well, you ain't perfect either. Your wife tries to tell you, you know what? And you come home, you're heck of mean. And you go back, well, you're mean too. You know what you just did? You're focusing on the vessel and not the voice. Your boss tells you, hey man, you know, I noticed you've been clocking in late. Well, you clock in late too. You're missing the voice because you focused on the vessel. Can I let you into a little kingdom secret? There are no perfect vessels. So get used to drinking out of imperfect vessels in the kingdom. I wish it wasn't like that. When I started in ministry, I was like a lot. I loved the famous preacher thing, and oh man, so-and-so prophesied over me. Oh, I sat in a service with so-and-so. And then I got to meet some of my heroes. You know, they tell you, don't ever meet your heroes. Because what you find out is your heroes are just like you. That shouldn't depress you. That should teach you. Never get fixated on a vessel. Get fixated on the voice.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.